Good
morning.
I have said this before and I'll say it again. Everything changed at the cross.
Amen.
This was one of the pinnacle of God's points in time throughout all of history. At the cross, death was destroyed. The perfect sacrifice was given. The suffering of Christ, it was perfected. The wall of partition between God and man was torn down. Mercy and grace were ushered in. Mercy and truth were met together, and righteousness and peace had kissed.
Amen.
At the cross, the promise of the new covenant had been established and brought forth. The new covenant that we are now under has been established upon a better blood than that of Abel. It has been ushered in by the one who is greater than that of even Abraham. It has been mediated not by God and man, but between God and His Son. This covenant that we are under has been established by two immutable things: that God cannot lie, and that God had sworn an oath. This covenant was not covenant 2.0, but the original promise and the purpose of God set forth before the foundation of the world was even formed. And it ushered in a new hope, a hope for the people of God, in knowing that it is the work of God and His self, and that God cannot deny Himself. Nelson's Bible Dictionary defines a covenant as an agreement between two people or two groups that involves promises on the part of each other. The covenant of God was established by two, but it wasn't by God and Abraham, but it was by God and Jesus Himself. The covenant was given to Abraham. It was spoken to Abraham, but Abraham had no power in it. As I've said before too, Abraham had nothing on the table. We have nothing on the table. We receive the things that God has for us. It was Jesus who purposed. It was Jesus who purposed, "Thy will be done." Remember in the garden, He was praying at the cup be taken from Him. But see, this covenant was between God and Christ Himself. It was the accomplishments of Christ that ushered in this new covenant. Not Moses, not Abraham, not David, but Christ Himself. The covenant was performed by God, by God's own right arm, because salvation was brought forth by none other but by His own right arm. The Scriptures reveal that it wasn't established in Abraham because it was promised before the foundation of the world, as I said before. In Titus 1:2 it says, "In hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised." He promised before the world began. So even before the world began, God promised this eternal life for His children. Abraham, just off the top of my head, was born in the 2000-something, right? Okay. 2,000 years prior to Abraham, God made this promise. There was no one else around before the foundation of the world began through His Son. Revelation 13:8, "And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship Him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world." So we see this image that John the apostle seen on the Isle of Patmos. He saw Christ. He saw this one that was slain as before the foundation of the world. And we see here in Revelation 18, the Lamb that was slain from the before the foundation of the world. Again, we see that this was not an afterthought.
That's right.
It was the pre-thought. It was the before. We see the sacrificial lamb of the covenant was slain before the foundation of the world. Now we know that the lamb wasn't truly slain. We know that he wasn't truly slain at this time. But the purpose was established in Christ. We know that Christ was slain 4,000 years later. That Christ laid down his life 4,000 years later. Again, the perfect sacrificial Lamb of God laid down his own life on the cross at Calvary. But the promise was given way before that. The promise of the covenant was originally given, and I never really thought about that until I started thinking about this, was originally given to Adam and Eve. It truly was. In Genesis 3:15. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. That was a promise that Satan was going to be destroyed. And what did Jesus say? He seen Satan fall as lightning from the sky. On the cross he destroyed he who had the power of death. That's what this verse is pointing to. The destruction of Satan and his ways. And we know Adam and Eve was way before Abraham. But a promise was still given for those who trust in God. But it was to Abraham that God swore an oath to. In Luke 1:71, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham. This holy covenant, which was all the nations will be blessed. That he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. Up to this point, we had to take our lambs and our sheep and our bullocks and all of this every year to be cleansed. But here, that now we can serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness. We are made clean. We are cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. Galatians 3:16 also says, not to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. And I say, this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ. Here again, it's Christ. This covenant was given and confirmed in Christ. The law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul that it should make the promise of none effect. So the law did not stamp out the covenant.
That's right.
The law did not stamp it out. It only showed that we could not do it in the law. We could not find favor in the law because the law is weak through the flesh. Mm-hmm. The covenant given to Abraham was based on the works of God, but promised through the faith of Abraham. Genesis 22:16, and said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing this is God, that I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thee, thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. So we see that it was God's work, but it was Abraham's faith that he received this promise. God saying, I will, because you believed me. Because you believed me, Abraham. God foreknew that through the only begotten was the promises established and brought in. The word of God confirms the only begotten had been reserved for two people. for Isaac, and for God's only Son, Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Look through the Scriptures. The only begotten has been reserved for two. The child of promise and the Son of God. This is the corridor that the new covenant was to be ushered into. It didn't say anything about Ishmael. Remember, Ishmael was Abraham's first child. But he was not the child of promise. Isaac was. And this is Christ's lineage. This is the seed in which Christ was going to come from. This was the seed that Paul was talking to the Galatians about. Thy seed, God's only begotten Son. God's Word has also made us privy to a couple of His holy conversations that pertain to the new covenant. We can see, I can just use my holy imagination, Christ and God speaking one to another in the heavenly realm, in the glory, because remember, Christ came down from the glory to be made a man. So this is prior to that. So God and Christ was up there conversing one to another. That pertained to the new covenant, holy and divine conversations between the Father and the Son. Psalm 110, 1. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. David prophesied of that, wrote of that.
Yes, amen.
A little farther in verse 4. The Lord hath sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Now we know we can go to Hebrews and we can read of Christ and Melchizedek. But this is a conversation between God and His Son. It can be of none other. Then we can go to Isaiah 49:5. And now saith the Lord that formed me from the womb, to be His servant, to bring Jacob again to Him. Though Israel be not gathered, yet shall I be glorious in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength. And He said, it is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, and that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth.
Amen.
That is a conversation between God and Christ.
Yes.
Christ came to be a light unto the Gentiles. He came to restore Israel. He came to restore Jacob, to restore the nations to God. I know it was written in Isaiah, but this couldn't have been speaking of none other than Christ Himself. And it says, saith the Lord that formed me from the womb. This is speaking of Christ. By faith we have been given the privilege of peering into the most precious times of the Father and of the Son. The mystery has been revealed to the church of God's purposes from before the foundation of the world, which a light was going to be given to the Gentiles so that all the nations would be blessed as per the promise from the beginning. And this promise was given directly to the one who is going to perform it. It was Christ. Again, it wasn't Abraham. It was Christ that was going to perform this promise. Again, this new covenant wasn't an afterthought or revision of the old, nor was it a correction of an error that was made. This covenant was not going to be established in the do's and the don't commandments of God to man, but it was established on the promises of God and on the perfecting of God's people. See, this covenant, one of the purposes of this covenant was to perfect His people, to wash away, and now we're able to come boldly to the throne of God because we have been perfected. We are complete in Christ, something that the law could not do. But God was promising this way back. In Hebrews 7:18, for there is verily a disannulling of the commandment going before the weakness and unprofitableness thereof. For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God.
Amen.
Again, the writer of Hebrews says the law made nothing perfect. But yet, we see the covenant was given before the law. Again, in Hebrews 8:10, "For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord." This comes from Jeremiah. "I will put my laws into their mind, and I will write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more."
Amen.
This is a perfecting. This was told to Jeremiah in the middle of the law, of the law time. He said, one day a time is coming that I'm going to perfect my people. I'm going to put my laws in. No more are they written on the stones, but they're written in their hearts and in their minds. Through the new covenant, the law written on stones was taken away and written on the hearts and in the minds of God's people. The veil between God and man, it had been torn. It had been rent in twain from the top and to the bottom. We know this because it says it on Christ's death. The access to God was opened up by the flesh of Christ being pierced. The law was given because of man's transgressions, but the new covenant was given upon the obedience of Christ Himself. The law could not perfect the hearers, but the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ did. The death, the shedding of blood, cleansing His people, the ascension, putting away death, and the resurrection, or the burial, was this putting away, this dead to the body, and the resurrection was this acceptance for God's people. So we see that Christ accomplished all of this. The covenant was established upon better and surer promises. Hebrews 8:6, "But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is a mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises." He, which was Christ, is the mediator of the better covenant.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
They were established in Christ at his death, because a covenant has no power until the testator is dead. Ephesians 2:12, "That at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world." Do you see that? The covenants of promise. It didn't say that you were strangers from the law. You're strangers from the covenants of promise. Having no hope and without God in the world. "But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby." Mm-hmm. So we see the covenants of promise, and we see the law of commandments contained in ordinances. You see, these two, the covenant and the law, is in this verse. Christ ushered in the covenants and abolished the laws. Mm-hmm. Put them away. In Christ, who is our peace. It is Christ who is our peace, and not Abraham. It is Christ who has abolished the enmity, and not man. It is Christ who has drawn man to God, and not Moses. It is Christ who has reconciled, and it is Christ who has slain the enemy thereby. The promise was given and sworn on to Abraham, but it was established in Christ. The covenant was promised and mediated also through Christ. In Galatians 3:18, "For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of a promise. But God gave it to Abraham by promise. Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. And it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator." So we see, till the seed should come whom the promise was made. The promise, again, was made to Christ. Mm-hmm. And it was mediated between God and Christ himself. In Hebrews 12:24, "And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant."
Amen.
"And to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel." So we see that Christ is the usherance of this new covenant. God cannot deny himself, nor can he deny his Son. So we see that the covenant was established upon better promises and through a better sacrifice. And in closing, let us remember that the new covenant was given before the foundations of the world, and that it wasn't an afterthought, but it was the true purpose and heart of God from the very beginning. The new covenant brought in hope for the children of God, in knowing that God cannot lie, and had sworn by himself of bringing in the new covenant, and that God cannot deny himself. The new covenant did not promise long life, many children, lands and herds, but it promised eternal life, a life with the Father and with the Son, and that one day we would be his people, and that he would be our God. Remember what the laws promised? Longevity, children, lands, cattle, peace from your enemies. But the new covenant, it has nothing pertaining to this world. It pertains to everything in the everlasting world. The new covenant was established on better promises and eternal things. Again, it all changed at the cross. Mm-hmm. And let me leave us with one last verse. Hebrews 9:15. "And for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance." Mm-hmm. So is there any questions or comments or corrections?
He commanded eternal life. And the promise is that eternal life.
He had this all planned from the beginning. Before he undertook to create man and this whole universe, mm-hmm. he knew what he was going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then when Abraham came, God, he believed in the Lord, and it was counted to him for righteousness, so God made the promises to Abraham and his seed.
Mm-hmm.
I just love how Galatians opens that up and enlightens that his promises were made to Christ, from God to Christ,
mm-hmm.
and it was confirmed before of God in Christ. Before the law was given.
Mm-hmm. Before Adam and Eve even sinned, it was given. Well, I thank you all for your comments. Shall we stand and...